All right. Good morning, everybody. It's about time, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. My name is Rob Howard. I'm going to do a session today on extending OneDrive for Business, building custom applications and solutions that integrate with OneDrive for Business. How many of you guys actually saw my session yesterday, the SharePoint Power Hour? Okay, cool. I'll do a couple of similar things. I'll try and make sure the demos are different. There'll be a little bit of overlap there, but it's good to know that most of you guys haven't seen it, so I'll try and review that content. It's a small enough group today, and we've got enough content that I think if you've got a question in the middle, feel free to raise your hand. I'll wave you off if we're running too low on time, but I'm happy to take questions. We can make it a little bit more of a conversation. Here's the agenda that I intend to go through. First, I'm going to start with a little overview of OneDrive for Business just to kind of set the stage from a technical perspective. Oh, yeah, that's a good call. I should show the slides, huh? Thank you. So first, I'm going to start with a little bit of overview on OneDrive for Business, just to make sure you guys sort of understand what OneDrive is, both from a scenario perspective and from a technical perspective, how it's implemented, what the underlying technologies we use in OneDrive for Business are. It makes a big difference to how you extend it. Next, I'm going to talk about how you can create apps for SharePoint and how they can integrate with or interact with OneDrive. Then I'm going to talk about building device apps and websites that are sort of outside of the scope of Office 365, but they integrate with OneDrive by calling them through service APIs. And last, I'm going to talk pretty briefly, but a couple of important pieces around provisioning and migrating to OneDrive for Business from other systems or creating accounts for people when you're onboarding an organization. All right, so I'll start off with OneDrive for Business. This is the overview slide. If you've seen any slides on OneDrive for Business, you've probably seen this slide already. If you haven't used OneDrive for Business, I highly recommend it. It's an awesome file store that makes it really easy to put all my files in one place in the cloud. You get 25 gigs of storage. You can get to it from any web browser. There are a bunch of native client applications for accessing it. There's sync clients available for several platforms in order to make sure that your files are available offline. And on top of all of those things, which are really, you know, kind of basic capabilities in terms of file storage in the cloud today, we also have direct integration with the Office client. It's really powerful direct integration. We have co-authoring built in. Any file that's stored inside there, you can co-author, you can share it very easily with other people within your organization and outside of your organization. And then on top of all of those end user features, there's a lot of great reasons to love it from an organizational perspective. You get things like enterprise search for free, you get records management and e-discovery and all the kind of capabilities that you need for business documents that aren't necessarily for personal documents you get when they're in OneDrive for Business. So this is a kind of message about the value proposition of OneDrive for Business. But what's actually OneDrive for Business under the covers? Well, for those of you guys who aren't aware, OneDrive for Business is actually just a site collection. Everybody has their own site collection. When you go to your OneDrive for Business, you're browsing to your personal site or your site collection. A site collection that's stored just like any other site collection in SharePoint in a content database. And as a result, the same sort of strategies that we use to extend the rest of SharePoint, building apps for SharePoint, building devices and websites that integrate with SharePoint services, work for OneDrive sites as well. There are a few things that we'll keep in mind that are specific to OneDrive sites and a few kind of scenarios that are more interesting for OneDrive sites than for other sites inside of SharePoint. But in general, a lot of the same strategies apply there. And we'll go through those kind of things in detail. Just because it's kind of a common thing for people to ask, there are some good reasons behind why we have these as independent site collections, why every different individual's OneDrive is a different site collection. The biggest thing is the sort of per-user quota storage and management and the security boundary there. So being able to say that each user gets an enforceable 25 gigabytes of storage by default, and that we can enforce that both on the OneDrive library itself, where you're storing all your documents, and on any personal list you create, is really important for the integrity of the system and for the ability of tenants and organizations to maintain a storage limit overall. And these site collections aren't created by default. They're actually sort of when you go get a new Office 365 site, there are no OneDrive sites created automatically. We'll talk about how they get created. They sort of happen through the UI flow automatically, but they're provisioned asynchronously. And the reason we do that is because it actually takes a little while to go create site collections. If we tried to go create every site collection for a large organization right away, people would be waiting a really long time for their site collection. So we want to make sure the people who are trying to use their site collections first are going to get them first. So that's why we don't pre-provision. And we don't make it synchronous because it does take a long time. So It takes 30 seconds to provision each My Site. It could be that there are several people trying to provision them at the same time, and so it might take even longer, and we might need to chain them or queue them. So we want to make sure that you don't have an end-user experience where you're just sitting there in the browser waiting for the page to load while we go provision the thing in the background. So that's just a little bit of background about sort of OneDrive for Business, what it is from a technical standpoint, how we go create those things, just from a SharePoint perspective. I also want to do a really quick recap for those of you who aren't familiar with the SharePoint app model, because that's a really critical part of this talk, is to talk about the SharePoint app model and how it fits into OneDrive. So I'm going to do this really quick recap, which is to talk about, at a high level, what the capabilities are inside the app model. And there are kind of three pieces, and the first one is, hold on just a second, let me go through this. The first one is our remote APIs. So remote APIs allow you, from custom code running on a remote web platform or on a device, to call into our service through an API layer using either some libraries that we have created and made available. People often call these the CSOM libraries, JavaScript, Silverlight, and .NET CSOM libraries, or through direct REST and OData calls to those same services. We've got service endpoint on the server, which then allows you to get access to a bunch of different functionality inside of SharePoint, including lists and libraries, user profile search, taxonomy, and feeds. And in particular, for OneDrive, the most interesting stuff is usually going to be around either user profiles, because that's where we manage sort of provisioning and creation of the My Sites, or libraries, which is what the actual My Site is. It's a document library that has a bunch of files inside of it. So we've got these remote APIs that are available on Microsoft platforms through these client libraries and on any platform through REST services. That's the first kind of component. The second is we have an authentication and authorization infrastructure that allows your application to authenticate to SharePoint and interact with SharePoint services on behalf of a user in ways that the user explicitly allows. So the application has to say, hey, is it okay if I go and delete all the files in your My Site before I can go do that? This allows us to do a bunch of really cool things. For example, the granular security, but it also allows us to do things like tracking the audit trail. So you'll see when an application goes and does something to a document, and you go and look at the history of that document, it'll say, oh, the document was modified by this application on behalf of this user. And we'll include that in version history and the audit logs and all the information so you know exactly what applications are performing what actions in your system. And then the final piece is that we have several different ways to extend the UI of SharePoint with these custom applications. We've got these three listed here. We've got these kind of full-page apps, which is the notion I can install an app into my site. People can have an icon to go and click on that thing and launch it and get essentially a full-page experience to interact with my app. I have a part page, which allows me to define a kind of embedded page that people can embed the same place they could embed web parts inside of SharePoint pages. And I have command extensions that allow me to extend out-of-the-box commands inside of SharePoint with my own custom actions. We'll talk about each one of these, and we'll talk about sort of how they fit into the OneDrive world throughout the day or throughout the morning. We're only going for 75 minutes. But these are kind of the three main components of the app model. And as we talk about building apps for SharePoint that integrate with OneDrive, these are the three things that we're going to kind of focus on. We'll do a little bit of a switch, like I said before, and then we'll talk about device apps and websites integrating with SharePoint then in just a minute after that. Okay, and just to really hammer home that sort of difference between apps for SharePoint and device apps and websites, this is the notion of kind of a contextual experience. What you see here is actually, this is actually Outlook. The same metaphor applies to SharePoint and OneDrive and every other sort of office property at this point, even the native client applications. What you see here is the sort of regular Outlook web access interface, but you see right here a custom application that's embedded inside of the experience, and it's getting the context of the mail that you're in and the user that you're in and the mailbox that you're in order to power that experience and provide additional business logic and data on top of it. So this is what we call a contextual experience, and we have those inside of Office and inside of SharePoint. Those things are typically acquired from the Office store, or they can be distributed through an app catalog that a corporation sets up. They, again, extend the experience of Office and SharePoint. We have a bunch of templates inside Visual Studio for creating these things. So you go file new project, and there's an app for SharePoint there, there's an app for Office there, and that's how you go create them. There's a new category of apps and solutions that we're really making a push to make a much better experience for developing, and a lot of the stuff we're announcing at this SharePoint conference is really about making this category a more tenable category and an easier category to go develop. And that is device apps and websites. So these are things that are kind of independent of the Office and SharePoint experience. You go and get them by either directly browsing to the website, or you go to another app store like the iTunes App Store or the Android App Store, or even the Windows App Store. You go acquire the app, and then it interacts with Office 365 and in OneDrive using OAuth and Office 365 APIs. So this is a kind of a new category of things. We'll talk about a bunch of capabilities you get with that, and I'll do a bunch of demos around how you can use those capabilities to integrate with OneDrive as well. All right, so let's start off, and we'll talk about apps for SharePoint and OneDrive. The first thing you need to know is that developing apps on OneDrive sites is a little bit different from if you're developing apps on every other site. And it's just different in one very specific way, and that is, by default in SharePoint, we only allow VS to deploy to a dev site. So when you go create a site, one of the options is a team site, one of the options is a blank site. There's also an option called a developer site. And VS can connect directly to those developer sites, and you can hit F5, and it'll deploy your app, and you'll be able to debug it. But if you tried to do that against your OneDrive site, you would get an error that says side loading is not enabled on this site. So this is the first thing to know about building apps for SharePoint to integrate with OneDrive, is how to deal with this problem. And there's essentially three ways that you can do it. One is you can just develop against a dev site instead. It turns out that really the documents library in a dev site is in most ways very similar to the documents library in a OneDrive site. And so for most development purposes, you're going to write almost all the same code. There are a couple of caveats to that, and the biggest one is that the documents library inside of a dev site, inside of a team site, has a templated ID of 101, and the library inside of OneDrive has a templated ID of 700. So that's the biggest thing to know that's different about the two. Otherwise, it's really pretty safe to interchange those. And I'll kind of show you in a couple of examples where that would come up. Another option is you can actually go and enable side loading on your OneDrive site. So if you have a dev tenant and you're a tenant administrator, which is required to go enable side loading of apps, you can download the SharePoint Online Management Shell and you can run a script that will enable side loading. And I'll show you what that looks like in just a second. That makes it a really easy experience to deploy directly in your OneDrive and get the experience very quickly through Visual Studio. And then the last experience is that you can actually just build the app and then you can push it into your corporate catalog and install it that way into your OneDrive. The problem with that is that it works fine for provider-hosted apps where most of the code that you're going to change is in a remote website, so you're not going back and forth and having to redeploy to the catalog a bunch of times. But if you're talking about a SharePoint-hosted app, every time you want to redeploy a new version of that thing, you're going to have to go upload it to the catalog and then go and upgrade your app in your site, and that's not going to be fun. So these are kind of the three options. I'm going to go real quick and show a demo of enabling side loading. Make sure I find the right button. So I've got this sideload PowerShell script. There's a link in the deck that actually points to a script that has almost identical script in a CodePlex project. So if you want to run this on your own, it's also got a link to the SharePoint Online Management Shell that you have to have in order to go run it. Basically, all it's doing is loading the SharePoint Online Management Shell. It's grabbing the site URL for the site that you want to enable sideloading on. This is my OneDrive site. You can see personal/rob_junction_onmicrosoft_com. The username that you're going to use to log in, and then it's going to prompt you for the password. And then it's going to use the client context to go and add this feature to your site. And that feature is the sideloading feature. And the only reason you have to be a tenant admin is because when you enable that feature, we're actually going to explicitly check to make sure you're a tenant admin. Because we don't want you to be able to just push apps that you've created to any site without your tenant admin's permission. So it's a pretty simple script. I can just hit play. I can type in my password. Hit OK. And it just runs pretty quickly. And you can see that the feature was added. I get the feature thing back. And now it's successful. So if I now go to Visual Studio, and I create a new project, you'll see that one of my project options here is App for SharePoint. I talked about how apps for SharePoint have templates directly inside Visual Studio. I can hit SharePoint app, and it asks me what site I want to debug against. Now that I have sideloading enabled, I can actually choose my OneDrive site directly rather than choosing a dev site. I can choose provider hosted, auto hosted, SharePoint hosted, whatever I'd like to do. Hit finish, log in. And then as soon as it's created the project, I can just deploy it, and you'll see that it'll deploy successfully into my OneDrive. So this one's not a super interesting demo, but it's really important because it'll be the first thing that you hit if you try and go run these demos on your own tenant. So just wanted to make sure and get that out of the way. It's not super interesting to actually see it go deploy, so I'll go back to the slides, and we can use the rest of the time for demos. All right, so now I wanted to get deep into functionality really quick, and the first thing that I want to do is point out an API that's not a new API. It's existed for quite a long time, but not many people know about it, and it's an extremely useful API to know about. And this is the list.getChanges API. We actually support it for site collections, for webs, and for lists. And it's an incredibly powerful API, especially in OneDrive scenarios. It can do things like help you show new items since the last time the user visited OneDrive. It can help you sync files out of OneDrive by telling you what changes have happened. You can even detect things other than file changes, like permission changes and role assignment changes. It's really a very spectacularly powerful API that doesn't get enough attention from people, so it's the first one that I really want to mention. Basically, the way it works is you call list.getChanges, and you pass in a change query object, and you specify what events and object types you're interested. So you can say, hey, I want to know about item changes, or list changes, or site changes, or file changes, or role assignment changes. And you can say, I want to know about adds, or edits, or deletes. So you can be very specific about the types of changes that you're interested in the query. And then the calling pattern goes something like this. You call getChanges the first time without any change token. You have a null change token. It'll tell you all the changes that have happened since the beginning of time on that library. And for every one of those changes, it'll give you back a kind of opaque string that is your change token. And then you can call back in to get changes with that change token, and it will only give you the changes that happened after that. And you can keep doing that over and over again in order to get the changes that have happened after a certain period of time. So I'm going to do a quick demo to kind of show you how this would be useful, in particular for kind of the showing new items scenario. So I've got here a new provider-hosted app. It's literally all just new provider-hosted app, nothing else. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into default.aspx, and I'm going to start writing some code that's going to go and enumerate the files inside of my OneDrive. And then it's going to use a change token that it's going to cache locally within the site in order to tell me which ones are new since the last time that I visited. So first thing I want to do is I want to get rid of this this boilerplate text that's going to do the client context.web title. I've got a bunch of snippets for each one of these. Do my import of my snippet manager. Apparently I didn't get that right. And I'm actually going to make all the snippets that I use in the demo today available to you guys online, so I'll show you the URL for that afterwards. So if you want to reproduce these demos, the way that you go and register the snippets is you just go to Snippets Manager, and you'll add the directory. Did I just add the directory? There we go. And you'll add the directory, and then you can see the snippets inside of there. And then I can go to Control-KX, and I can see the getChanges snippets. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to query for list items. And all this code's going to do is go to the client context, so wherever this app is installed is the client context. It's going to go to the web, go to the list collection, and grab the documents collection, which is going to be the OneDrive folder in this case. And then it's going to go to the list item collection, and it's going to go to get items. And it's going to create an all items query and just grab the file leafref, which is the file name, and the ID for it. And it's going to grab the first 50 items just to have a limit on it. And I have to actually say, there's an ambiguous reference here. So I'm going to go and change that. So now I have the collection of all the items. What I want to do is output all the items to the page. But I want to know which ones of those items are new since the last time that I was here. So I'm going to go and create a dictionary, a static dictionary. lost that snippet. I can rewrite that one. So I'll do... do the code to query changes, and that's going to tell me what I have to write here, so hold on just a second. Basically, I'm going to create a dictionary that will have a string for the user's cache key and a change token, which is, as I mentioned, an indication of changes that have happened at a point in time. So I've got that dictionary. I want to make it a static dictionary so it stays between requests. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new change query. I'm going to say I'm interested in any ads that happened inside of this list. I'm interested in ads that happened on items inside of the list. I could do other things like I want to do role assignments, or I want to do changes to lists or changes to webs. In this case, I just want to know about new items that were created. I'm going to check and see if this context.cacheKey has sorry about that. I actually messed up and imported the wrong version of snippets, so I'm having to fix it up. Apologies. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to check and see if this cache key is created for that particular user. So when I launch this app, I'm going to get a cache key for the user. And I'm going to see if there's a stored change token for that user. And if there is, I'm going to set on the query that change token to be the change token start. So I only get changes that come after that change token. And then I'm going to do a change query on the OneDrive library. So this is OneDriveLibrary.getChanges, and I'm passing in that query, and I'll get back all the changes that happened between then. And then all I want to do is write out all the items. And I'm going to go through the collection of all of the items, and before I do that, I'm going to go in through all the changes that I get back, and I'm going to, for each one of the changes, look for the last change token. So I want to store the last change token that I've seen when I get the changes back in that dictionary. And then I'm going to write out all the items in the library. And if the change ID appears in my list of changes, then I'm going to make it bold. And if it doesn't, I'm going to just write it out regularly. Now I'm going to build and run this application. I'm going to deploy it to my OneDrive site, and I have a whole bunch of files on the desktop to dump in. Man, I'm really messing this one up. I forgot one other thing. So one other thing that I forgot to do was this application, in order to be able to show me all the changes, needs to be able to read the parent site. So I'm going to go and add that permission and say web, read, and save, then rebuild it and deploy. And that's going to take a minute to uninstall it and reinstall it in my site. I'm going to trust it again. This time I have a bunch of items. So I'll hit continue. So this is the first time that I'm looking at this document library. So what I see here is all the items inside of the document library, and I see them all bold because they're new. If I hit refresh, I'll run this again. You see that none of them are bold now because I had that latest change token from the last one when I ran it, and I stored that in the dictionary. And now I can start putting files inside here, drag and drop them inside here. You'll see that if I run it again, the new ones are bold, and the old ones are grayed out. So this is telling me every time that I make a change to it, I'm able to hold on to this change token, query into the library, and pull back only the information that's been that's changed since the last time I had it. And I can use that to build sync things or to track new changes. And this is a really simple example of how to do that. Sorry I messed up the code snippets. I promise I'll put the right ones on the website. Sorry about that. It was a little rough demo. But I promise the next ones will be a lot faster and quicker. More smooth, anyway. All right. So let's get changes. The next one I want to show is custom actions. So custom actions, if you're familiar with apps for SharePoint, you're probably already aware of these things. But they're basically ways that we allow you to add custom commands to the ribbon and the item menu inside of document libraries, whether that's in OneDrive for Business or in other sites inside of SharePoint. They allow you to find query string parameters for the context properties on the item that you're launching. And we support both a full page launch and a navigation to a dialog. So you can see here, I've got the context menu inside my OneDrive. And I've got this drop down here for the command menu, and I've got this basic custom action that's created here, and that's going to allow me to launch a custom application in the context of that app. So I'll do a real quick demo on that one. In this case, I have a SharePoint-hosted site. The only thing that I've done with this SharePoint-hosted site right now is I've created a custom action.html page. So this is the one that I want to launch. And the only thing that's going on in this page is we're actually looking through all the query strings, and we're going to parse them out and just display them in the page. So this is just going to show you the information that you get when your application gets launched. And it's really easy to add these. So I'm just going to go to the example, and I'm going to add a new item. You can see that I've got a few different custom actions. I've got a ribbon custom action and a menu custom action. I'm just going to choose menu custom action in this case. It's going to ask me what I want to register it on. I want it on the host web, and I'm going to choose the list template to be the documents list template, which is the one I want for SkyDrive Pro. I can type in my custom action name here, and I can choose the file that I'd like to launch. I'm going to choose this custom action HTML page. Hit finish. You can see it generates this XML for me. You can see that it's using this 700 registration ID. Remember I said before, if you're developing against a different site other than a SkyDrive Pro site than a OneDrive site, then you'll see 101 as the documents template. So that's one thing to kind of be aware of. It's going to be 700 because I'm actually developing against a OneDrive site. And then you'll see this URL action. So this is pointing to this custom action.html page. And there are a bunch of tokens inside of here that will be resolved when I launch that page. So you can see item ID and list ID here. And I can hit deploy. It's going to go ahead and deploy that to my OneDrive site. You can go out and visit it while it's deploying it. And it's done deploying. So I can refresh. And if I look at the context menu here, you'll see my custom action name here listed within the menu. And when I click it, I'll go to this custom HTML page, and you can see all the parameters that came from launching that file that were passed along. So in this case, you're getting the host URL, which is the site that it was launched from. You're getting the product number for the version, the app web URL, and the two most important things, which are the list item ID that you launched it, so you can call back into SharePoint and interact with it, and the list that launched it, so that you can call back and find the list that had the item inside of it. So you can use this code to do whatever you want. Go grab the item, send it off to a service, and do some processing on it, update the item with some additional metadata, load the item into an editor, whatever your appropriate scenario demands. All right, so that was a quick custom action one. In the last session in the developer keynote, we also mentioned a future item that we're adding in the service, the ability to create a custom file extension that actually registers on a file type. So you can say, I want to, for example, register for the DRW file type a custom editor, a custom preview experience, a custom new file, a custom icon. You do it in much the same way that I just demoed with a custom actions, and we already demoed it in both of those sessions, so I'm not going to go through a demo here. But I wanted to point this one out because this is another thing that's coming soon here in a few months. We'll work both in OneDrive for Business and in SharePoint doc libraries. Okay, so that's a quick rundown of a lot of existing stuff around apps for SharePoint. That's important to know when you want to build apps that integrate with OneDrive. Now I'm going to go and kind of talk about a different subject, and that's that second category of apps. These are apps that are built on devices, platforms, or are websites that integrate with OneDrive through service APIs. And there's a bunch of new capabilities that we're announcing here. And these new capabilities are, for the most part, in preview, which means we're just releasing them, most of them yesterday or today. We want to get feedback on them. They'll be available in everyone's public tenant here by the end of the week. But we want to make sure that people know these are preview features. We want to get developer feedback on them. We want to make sure that we have the right design for them. They're not things that we think people should build production features on, because as we get feedback, we may continue to change them and evolve them over time. But I want to show you kind of the state of the art today. Here are a bunch of applications that integrate with OneDrive or SharePoint sites today. These are applications that are either in the Windows Store or that are applications that we built at Microsoft. And they're kind of crummy experiences in a lot of cases. And it's not the fault of the application developer. It's actually that our platform doesn't have a very good way to integrate with OneDrive or with services from SharePoint from device applications, especially when you're in Office 365. So you can see here, they're doing things like they're actually prompting you for your username and password within the site, and they'll even allow you to save that information in the site. So this means that they're actually storing your credentials, which is a difficult thing to do securely. It means it doesn't support things like multi-factor authentication. It doesn't support things like federation. It means that if you were to change your password, this application will suddenly not have access anymore. It means that it has access to everything you have access to and every service that this username and password is used for, and not just the ones you intended to use it for. And then, in addition to all that, you can see that a bunch of these experiences are actually asking you to enter the URL of your OneDrive site manually. So you can see here, enter newsfeed URL manually. Can you imagine on a phone or on a device actually typing in that really long URL that I was just showing before? It would be an awful experience, and is on many of these an awful experience. People have to go copy and paste and find them. It's because we just in the platform don't have a good way to support these kind of scenarios. So we're announcing a bunch of stuff this week that makes it really easy, really seamless user experience in order to develop this type of application. And the first one of those is the ability to use Azure Active Directory OAuth in Office 365. And we're announcing this capability in preview. It allows you to do things like create a single authentication flow that works for Azure Active Directory Graph, for Exchange, for SharePoint, and for OneDrive. And it works both for device apps and websites. It means that both end users and administrators can consent to these applications and give access to the resources inside of Office 365. And it's implemented using a secure protocol. It's based on OAuth 2.0, which means that when you give the application access to your site, you're not actually giving them the credentials. You're not requiring that they log in. You're giving them fine-grained access, so you're saying, here's the exact actions that you can take on the exact services and delegating specific permissions for them. It supports capabilities like multi-factor authentication and federated user sign-in. And it also allows you to do things like, when you get access, get a refresh token so that you can act on behalf of the user against these services until your app's access is revoked without asking them to sign in every time. You don't need a username and password. You don't need consent every time the app interacts with this experience. So it's a really cool infrastructure. I'm going to show you real quick the Azure Active Directory portal. where you go and register these applications, and then I'll demo a couple of the applications for you in just a second. So here is the Azure Active Directory portal. For those of you guys who haven't used Azure, I highly recommend it for a bunch of services, and in particular, Active Directory is a really powerful one for managing applications. You can actually log in with your Office 365 tenant. So in this case, I'm logging in with my Office 365 org ID. You have to create an Azure subscription with that org ID when you do it. But I'm logging in with that Office 365 org ID, and you'll see a few things in here. You'll see a couple of websites, and you'll see this directory. This directory is actually the same directory that Office 365 created when I registered for Office 365. So I typed in a company name on that registration portal when I created this trial tenant, and it was Rob's developer tenant. You can see that same directory there. And if I click that, you'll see I can get to users, groups, applications, domains. If I go to users, you'll even see these are the same users that I have inside of Office 365. When Office 365 creates a new user, it's actually creating it inside of Azure Active Directory. We just haven't really exposed that before, except through this Azure portal. The applications piece is actually the one that I want to talk about. And this is where you'll go to either manage your apps that you have already or to go create new apps. So when I go create a new app, apparently my resolution is too small for this. When I go create a new app, I want to add an app. I can either add an application my organization is developing or add an application that some other organization has developed and I want to use. I can do things like, I'll say test app here. I can create new web applications or web APIs or create native client applications. I can define the redirect URI, which is kind of the URI identifier for my app, and I'll show you all these things in detail in a minute. But once I go and create that app, I can go and manage its access to all of the services inside of my Office 365 tenant, and if I want, in other tenants that sign up to use my application. So I can see here a particular application called Discovery Sample. I can see its client ID. This is sort of its username. I can see these redirect URIs, and this is where the app is hosted. And then I can see down here, this is the new capability that's newly announced in preview and will show up in your Azure portals by the end of the week, and that is the ability to define permissions to other applications that this app wants to have. So you can see things here like SharePoint Online. You can see this will be called Exchange Online when that updates happen later this week. And you can see Windows Azure Active Directory. When I select those, I have all kinds of interesting permissions like read users' contacts, read users' calendars, send mail as user, read users' mail. On the SharePoint Online side, I have things like read users' files, which is what you would use to get to their OneDrive files, and read items in all site collections. And I define that for this application. These are the capabilities that this application wants to have in order to interact with Office 365 capabilities. So this is where I go and create applications that want to use that new OAuth infrastructure and want to take advantage of Office 365 permissions. I'm going to switch back to the slides to talk about another new capability that we have, and then I'll actually demo a few applications for you. So that kind of helps us with the problem of authentication. It helps us with the problem that a bunch of these applications back here are asking for your username and password directly. They're having to store that. They're getting access to all of your stuff. They don't support multi-factor authentication. They don't support federation. We're addressing all of those problems with Azure Active Directory, but we still have the problem of actually having to type in that full URL to get to your OneDrive or figure out where the user's exchange is stored. So we're announcing another new capability that we're previewing today called the Office 365 Discovery Service. And the Office 365 Discovery Service is a service that you can go to automatically determine the URL of Office 365 services, and in particular, OneDrive is the primary scenario we're going after there. So that you can create an application, you can go and ping this discovery service, and you can say, hey, the user said I could access their files. Can you tell me where they are? And we'll return to you exactly the URL where those services are stored. Again, the discovery service supports both device applications and website flows. So you can build websites that take advantage of this capability. You can build device applications that take advantage of it. It's secured using that same Azure Active Directory authentication protocol. So it's a secure protocol. It's a simple, the same protocol that you'll use to get access to the user's actual data once you have the URL, and it serves information stored about these services in Azure Active Directory. So while today we're talking about things like OneDrive and Exchange, this is an infrastructure that's extensible and that we can add more services to over time, and this will become a full directory of all the organizational services that are available to applications as we move on. So I want to really quickly then demo for you an actual device application using the Office 365 Discovery Service. This again is one that folks who saw my session yesterday have seen, but I promise that'll be the last one that you saw from the session before. This is a really simple application that's running in Windows 8, and it's connecting to the Discovery Service. My resolution is too low. All right, we're going to take a risk here. That wasn't good. All right, let's see if we can run it on that setting. Hey, there we go. So this is a simple Windows 8 application that's going to connect to the Discovery Service. The Discovery Service is hosted on api.office.com. It's at api.office.com/discovery/me. And what it's going to do is go through the flow that an application might go through. It would kind of do it all end-to-end at once, but it's going to break it out so you can kind of see the interactions back and forth. And the first step is one that a lot of applications probably won't go through, but is an interesting service for some. And it allows you to ask the user for an email address. This is UI hosted by our service. It allows you to ask the user for an email address so we can tell you whether or not they have an account in Office 365. So I can do things like type in that same account name that I've been working with. And hit next. You'll see that I get information back about the account type. This is going to tell me that there is an account and that this is an org ID account, or that there is an account and this is a Microsoft account, or it's both types of account. So I can do things like understand which service I should talk to, or understand if this user already has an account in Office 365 before I even get started. Most applications, you'll actually assume that's the case because people say they want to sign in with Office 365. So you'll actually go on to the next step, which is to get your service authorized. Again, this is UI that's hosted inside the web auth broker in Windows 8, so this is not the application that I'm typing my credentials into. This is the operating system. And when I type that in, Azure Active Directory is going to go look up the permissions that I had inside that portal. So these are all the boxes that I checked. Let me actually go a little bit bigger, make sure you can see it. These are all the boxes that I checked inside that Azure Active Directory portal about the permissions that this application wants. And Azure Active Directory is describing those permissions to me so that I know exactly what the app will get access to if I consent. Oops. Hit escape. Let me try that again. So I hit OK. And then what will happen is we'll send the application back a way to go get an access token. You can see this really ugly Base64 encoded string here is the access token. And this is the token that the app will actually use to go and connect with services and get information back, including when it wants to go to the Discovery Service. So I'll then click this next one, and it's going to then take that access token, and it's going to go off the Discovery Service and pull down this information here. So you can see the My File scope, for example. This is Office 365 SharePoint, and it's returning my OneDrive URL. So this is the full URL of my OneDrive. You can see the dash my and even down to the user, rob_o365api_demo_microsoft_com. It also returns my mail endpoint, my calendar endpoint, and my contacts endpoint from Exchange. For this one, in particular, we're going to use my files. And then this application can use that refresh token that it got to go get a token without even having to ask the user. Because it already got access to my files inside of OneDrive. It can go get an access token to talk to OneDrive, and I can then call get files with that access token and get all the files that are stored in OneDrive through a REST service. So this application, I broke out all those pieces, but you can see a very seamless experience that you can build as an application developer, It's a much more secure experience. It's much more pleasant for the end user. I didn't have to type in all of the URLs where my OneDrive is, and I all of a sudden have access to the OneDrive files from this device application. All right. So we talked about discovery. We talked about authentication. So now we have access. But the next question is, how do we actually integrate with those files? How do we actually call the files? How do we go and get that information? In order to address that, we're announcing the Office 365 API preview. And this is a set of really simple REST OData APIs that allow you to get at data across a bunch of different Office 365 services, including OneDrive, SharePoint, and Azure Active Directory. This is, again, in preview. And in this early preview, we have support for files, lists, mail, calendar, and people and groups. We expect this to expand really rapidly, both in terms of the stuff you can get access to and in the capabilities of those APIs. I'll show you a bunch about the Files API in a minute. You'll see it's a really very basic API right now, and we'll continue to add stuff quickly to it. It's available now in Office 365 tenants, if you have one, for SharePoint, Exchange, and Azure Active Directory. And it supports that same Azure Active Directory authentication, and you can find the endpoints for it through that service discovery layer. I'm just going to show you a few examples of how you interact with this API. So you have to go get that OneDrive URL. This is what discovery is going to tell you. But then the actual interaction with the API is really simple. So if you wanted to get the metadata for all the files that are in user's OneDrive, it's literally __API/files, as simple as that. If you want to get the metadata for a particular folder, it's __API/files, and you just put the folder URL. Or if you want to get the children of that folder, you address the folder and say /children. The metadata for a single file in OneDrive, you just give the path for that file. And if you want to download the file, you just put /download on the end of it. So these are really basic APIs for reading information about it. And these are some additional APIs for slightly more advanced scenarios. In particular, this one is upload a file to the specified path in OneDrive. You'll actually pass the file in the body of the request. And all I'm doing here is calling /add. And I specify the name of the file I want to create. We'll even go create the folders along the path if they don't already exist. And I specify whether or not I want it to overwrite something if it's already there. Delete is just the delete verb against that same files in the path. I can have a few kind of query capabilities against it using common OData syntax, like $top equals 5 tells me only return the first 5 records. And $select and the field names tell it return only these pieces of metadata, not the full metadata. And then I can also use this files API against other document libraries. So /files lets me get to the default document library, the OneDrive library in the OneDrive site case. But if I have other libraries created in the site and I want to use that same API, I can first get that library by title and then just go to /files and all the same API calls work. So I'll show you a quick demo of the OneDrive files. And in particular, this demo is going to give you a place to go and look at them. For those of you guys that saw my session yesterday, I built out an MVC site that allowed you to explore the APIs inside of Office 365. I've done the same thing. I'm not going to go through it here, but I've done the same thing end-to-end for a site that allows you to explore the APIs for the Files API in particular. So if I launch this MVC application, I can log in with my tenant. I can see a live website that's got a bunch of different example URLs, all the same ones that I just showed in the file. It shows the request URL parameter. And if I hit execute, this application is actually going to, from the web, use that same discovery service to go and call this API on behalf of whoever is logged into the site. And it's going to return to me the exact JSON that the service returned to it. So this is just a real quick API explorer so that I can see exactly what these APIs look like. So I can do things like I want to upload the file. I get that file back. And if I go and look in my OneDrive, here's the file that I uploaded. So I can see my files demo file there uploaded inside my OneDrive. So it's actually running live code, and it's running on behalf of whoever I've logged in through that same OAuth and discovery infrastructure. And I actually published that application online so that you guys can get to the same application. and play with it with your own Office 365 credentials. So if you go to onedrivedemo.azurewebsites.net, you can get the same APIs, you can log in with your own O365 account, and then you can play with the same examples. And I'm actually going to, real quick, show another demo, which is inside this website, I'm going to implement a Save to OneDrive button using all of the things that we saw here, the discovery service, the OAuth infrastructure, and the files API. I'm going to put together a Save to OneDrive infrastructure, and then I'm going to publish it to the website. And in particular, I'm going to use it so that I can give you guys a link to go and download all the code snippets that I've used here today. So I'm going to use a Save to OneDrive snippet. I'm inside of the view that defined this page, and I want to put a button right here. And what I'm going to do is insert a snippet that will, if there's a query string that says save to OneDrive equals success, it'll put a button success class on this particular button to show this thing just worked. And if there's not one of those query strings, it'll just have the default button. And the button's just going to be a link that says save snippets to OneDrive. I can even just publish that to make sure it works. Obviously, it won't actually do anything because I haven't actually implemented the handler. But now you can see my Save Snippets to OneDrive link is there. And now what I want to do is I want to implement a new controller for Save to OneDrive. So I'm going to go into this MVC application and add a new item. Actually, it's an easy way to do that. Just add a controller. Pick an empty controller. I'm going to call it Save to OneDrive. And hit Add. Then I'm going to go into the body of this method that's going to fire whenever I browse to save to OneDrive. Apparently I need to add the snippets again. Let's hope I get the right ones this time. So I'm going to add the basic index method here, and you'll see some references here that are linking to a common class that will make part of the tools. In particular, there's this Office 365 Service Info class, which is part of the sample that comes with the tools, and it's calling a method called Get SharePoint OneDrive Service Info Async. And all of those calls that I showed you going back and forth with Discovery Service, going and getting tokens, getting access to the files, then calling the Discovery Service and getting back the information from the Discovery Service, are all encapsulated in that one call, Get SharePoint OneDrive Service Info Async. So that's going to give me back all the information about OneDrive Service, including the endpoint where OneDrive is and the access token I have to call it. This is an async method, so I have to make this async. And I have to add threading. And then all I'm going to do is I'm going to open up an HTTP client. And I'm going to go to the local server and find a path on the local server that points to onedrivedemosnippets.zip. And I'm going to create a stream from that. And I'm going to use that stream then to make a request to OneDrive to actually upload the file. So you can see here the new HTTP request method. It's calling that files endpoint with the add method. It's going to store it in a file called demosnippets.zip. It'll overwrite whatever is there. So don't click it if you have something really important that happens to be named demosnippets.zip. It's going to use application JSON as the format. And here's that stream of the file that's going to put into the content of the request. And then it's going to use the O365 common controller to send that request to the OneDrive service info. It'll automatically handle the authentication, the discovery, everything back and forth. Let me make sure I actually have the snippets in there. I actually don't have the snippets in there. So. Here, right now. So I've got that on my local server. And then after all that's done, I'm going to redirect back to that index with save to OneDrive equals success, so that that button can have a green color to it after I finish saving to OneDrive. So I'm going to log in. I've already given it access, so it doesn't have to prompt me again. I can see my Save Snippets to OneDrive button. I can click Save to OneDrive. You can see it comes back green. If I go check out my OneDrive, I've got my demo snippets.zip there. Awesome. All right, so that was a really quick website app. I'm going to do one more quick demo, and this demo is going to be a device app. And this device app is just going to show you the capabilities that we have inside of our tools. These tools will be released in a week or two, about the same time that you'll get access in your Azure portal for registration. And they'll make the process of adding these capabilities, the Office 365 APIs, and our authentication capabilities to your project really quick. So I'm going to create a new Windows 8 application here. And I'm just going to choose a blank app, and I'm going to call this OneDrive Camera. And all this application is going to do is it's going to have a little camera button, it's going to use my device's webcam to take a picture of me, and then it's going to upload it to OneDrive. So what I want to do is first, so I don't forget this time, I'm going to go into the manifest and set the permissions so I have access to the webcam. And then I'm going to use these new tools, the Office 365 API tools, to go into the tools and say add connected service. When I have these tools installed, you'll see Office 365 APIs as a service embedded directly within the tools. I can sign in directly from the tools. I don't even have to go to the Azure portal. The same capabilities I had for going and registering that application and requesting specific permissions, I'll get here. So I can say I want access to SharePoint. I'll hit OK. The tools are automatically going to go out and register my application with Azure Active Directory. It's going to ask me what permissions I want. In this case, I'm going to write files, so I need that permission. And then it's going to go add all that sample code I was referring to and all of the libraries that I need and the NuGet packages that I need to my project so I can directly make calls against it immediately. So I can see this O365 helper, this Office 365 service info class that I was pointing you guys to before. I can see a SharePoint sample page. I actually don't need the SharePoint sample page in this case because I'm going to create my own quick page. And then I'm going to add a new basic page. And I'm going to go to the main page and just dump a couple things in there real quick. I'm going to go into the XAML. For some reason, I really dislike the dark theme, so I'm going to go to light theme. Really no reason. But now it's light. And I'm going to go to the toolbox and XAML controls, and I'm going to grab an image control so I can see the actual image that I take a picture of. And then I'm going to grab a button control. And this button is going to be the one that I use to take my picture. So I'm going to call it take picture. I need to name this image control captured image so I can refer to it in my code. And then I'm just going to double click on take picture in order to go and define the handler for this button click. So what I want to do is when this thing is clicked, I want to launch the camera control so I can go and take a picture. I want to then upload that camera control to Office 365, and I want to display it in that local image. In order to display it, I'm going to need permission to your Office 365 and all of that discovery service info. So when you navigate to this page, I want to go and get that service info right away and make sure I have an access token. And if I don't have an access token, I want to automatically prompt the user for it and have them log in. So I've got my OneDrive service info, and whenever you navigate to it, I'm going to get OneDrive service info async. If I don't already have access to your OneDrive by embedding a refresh token in my application, it's going to launch a dialog and let me log in and prompt me for access. So then I'll have my OneDrive service info. That'll tell me where I need to upload things. So I'm going to go to Camera Uploader. And then when the button is clicked, I want to actually define what the button press does. And I'm going to create a new reference to this camera capture dialog. This is just the Windows class that opens the camera dialog, sets some settings about how it will create it. And then it's going to store that in a local file called file here. Then I have to make this async. And then I'm going to take that file, the local file, and create a file stream from it and call upload photo, which I'll show you in just a second, which will upload the photo to SkyDrive. And then I'm going to create a bitmap image from that stream, open that stream, and set the bitmap image's source. This is that captured image thing that I created on the page in the XAML file just a minute ago. I'm going to set the source of that captured image object to be that bitmap image, so I'll be able to see the picture that I created. So now I have to go define that upload photo piece, and the code looks almost identical to what you saw in the MVC one, so I won't walk through it in much detail. You can see that I'm again creating an HTTP message. I'm again using the service info class and streaming content to it. And this time I'm uploading it to a demo photos folder. And I'll just hit start. So I didn't really write any code to do discovery. I didn't really write any code to do authentication. I was just referencing some classes that were automatically brought in by the tool. And I just wrote some code to handle the actual picture that's taken and to pass that to the libraries that can upload it. It's going to prompt me to log in. I've logged in. I can click Take Picture. It's going to make sure I want to allow the use of the webcam. Say, hey. Say OK. It's going to upload that to OneDrive, and it's going to display my picture there. I'll take another one just so you can see a second one. You can take one of all you guys. This webcam has spectacular image quality. So you can see those pictures taken. And if I go to OneDrive and go to Demo Photos, you can see picture one. I log in with the wrong account? Sorry? It should be automatically uploading. Oh, actually. Oh, I actually know what's happening. This is actually a OneDrive bug. So it's showing me the wrong preview, but if I actually download this image, I will see. There it is. It happened to have the same name as the one I did when I was preparing in the speaker room a minute ago, so I apologize about that one. I didn't really realize that would happen. But if I do again, refresh here, you can see you guys too. Okay, so it is actually uploading the files. If I do it a unique file name, it would have worked the first time. Man, rough day for demos. All right, so you saw a bunch of different demos there. You saw the tools that we have for integrating the APIs. I think it's really some very cool, very powerful stuff, so I didn't show it in the most elegant way. Just to make sure you guys saw it, here's that URL again. If you want to go try out with your own OneDrive account, you can go and see the demos for the APIs yourselves. Make sure you log in with Office 365 credentials, not with a Microsoft account. It'll tell you that it can't log you in if you do a Microsoft account. So go to onedrivedemo.azurewebsites.net. I'll keep it up till the end of the week. We'll probably actually create a more robust API site to send people to after that, but you guys can check it out until the end of the week. So that was great for Windows. We saw a lot of really cool tools for Visual Studio that let me create applications and connect them to Office 365 sites pretty quickly. But it turns out not every device is a Windows device, as much as we would like for it to be. It turns out that there's a lot on other platforms. And we're announcing, actually yesterday, that we are releasing an Android SDK for connecting to these same APIs. It's available today. It's an open source project on GitHub. You can go and see the full source. You can go and contribute to it, log bugs. You can make pull requests. You can go fork it and party on it. So I highly recommend you go check that out if you're interested in actually participating in the effort. It's an SDK for native Android apps that want to use those same Office 365 APIs, the Files API that we just saw, Lists, Mail, Calendar. Integrates with the Azure Active Directory auth library. That's also an open source project on GitHub. I'll just real quick show you what that experience looks like. I don't know, how many of you guys have actually used Eclipse before? A few people. I'll tell you, I hadn't really used Eclipse much before this project, when we started this project a few months ago. It really taught me how good we have it with Visual Studio. It's pretty amazing. So I've got this application here. There are a whole bunch of projects here. They're all coming from a Git repository. I've got Azure Active Directory here. I've got Office 365 SDK for Android here. And Office 365 SDK for Android includes a bunch of projects that allow me to access files, lists. It allows me to access inside of the Office 365 SDK. I've also got things like access to mail. I think I didn't actually open that project, but I can access mail, I can access calendar, I can access contacts for the same thing. And what I have here is a very simple app that's going to use this information. So these things right here, it says authority URL, client ID, redirect URL, discovery resource ID. So these parameters that are inside the constants should all sound very familiar. They're all the same parameters that I put into the portal in Azure Active Directory. So I can go register in Azure Active Directory, create a new app, put the same information here, that same kind of, you know, here's the client ID, here's the redirect URI. It's a really simple copy and paste, not quite as good as Visual Studio tools, but still very simple. And then I can go ahead and launch this application. And the application is going to do essentially the same thing. It's going to authenticate the user. Should I unlock first? It's going to authenticate the user. It's then going to ask me for permission to the resources that I'd like to give access to. It's going to call the discovery service, and then it's just going to show me the files that are stored inside my OneDrive. So here's the file and discovery API demo. I can click Start Discovery. It's going to, much in the same way that Windows does, launch a web browser control. That web browser control will prompt me for my username and password. The emulator is really slow, too. I was already logged in, so it didn't prompt me for my username and password, but it's going to prompt me for access. I can hit OK. And then it'll go and return all of the files that I have stored inside of this discovery service. Okay, we're almost out of time, so I'm going to go real quick and show the last few things. If you're interested in learning more about the Android SDK in particular, then I highly recommend you go check out SPC 373. They're going to do a ton of demos on the Android SDK and on building client apps that interact with SharePoint services. In terms of roadmap, the Android SDK is just the first of many of the SDKs that we're going to do for a bunch of different platforms, both web and device platforms. We'll do them in popularity order, and we'll develop them all in public open source projects and take submissions from the community. So if people want to contribute or report bugs, we can get them fixed very quickly. The last thing I want to do really quickly, and I'll just go through the content of this. There aren't that many demos, but it's kind of important content for folks who are really interested in kind of migration and provisioning scenarios, is I want to talk about how users get OneDrive. I said at the beginning that not every user has a OneDrive right when you create the tenant. And the reason I talked about was because we can't go and provision, say if you're a business of 50,000 people, we don't want to plug the service up with 50,000 requests to go create sites if not everybody's going to use them right away. So these are the ways that people actually go get OneDrive. First is normal interaction with Office 365. So if you click on any of the links in that Office 365 site that require a OneDrive, the first time you do it, it'll say, hey, we're going to create this thing for you. Give us a minute, and we'll show you that UI. So the newsfeed, the OneDrive, and the sites button that are inside of the Office 365 UI. The other way that it happens is if you log into Office, if you attach your Office 365 account to the Office clients, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, we'll actually go at that point, go and create a My site for you, a OneDrive site for you. And then there are a bunch of migration tools that you can build, and we'll talk about some of the details there, in order to migrate user-by-user data from some other system, say an on-prem set of sites or another file repository system. And there's also the capability to do bulk create, so that you can give a huge number of users access to their My sites at the same time. And I'll show you those details in just a second. In terms of the guidance, here's how you should do provisioning for OneDrive for Business. The default answer is that you should rely on just-in-time provisioning, which is what you get when people visit these links up top, is just-in-time provisioning. And if you have some sort of other application that wants to interact with their My Site and they're not there, you can do the exact same thing that the newsfeed and the OneDrive and the Sites link up there is doing by having this link, this mysite.spx, My Site redirect equals all document. So if you're in an app that requires that somebody has a OneDrive and they don't have a OneDrive, you can just send them there and it'll will automatically go create it for them. And you can use this or tell people to go and click on those things if you're trying to roll out OneDrive to less than 120 users an hour, essentially. So if you have people who are kind of just going and discovering it on their own and they're figuring out where it is and clicking on it and then going to get access to it, this is a totally reasonable way to do it. This is assuming, though, that you're not migrating things. So if you have a project where you actually want to take files that are in one place now, and for a huge number of users, you want to go create sites for them, you can actually do that now. We have a new API that allows you as a tenant administrator to call in and go create hundreds of OneDrive sites all at once to kind of queue them up in a service so that you can go and interact with later. And then after those are created, you can have a migration tool put whatever content you need to put in there. There's some thresholds for that, though, too, which is that if you're migrating more than 25,000 users or you're trying to get in more than 50 gigabytes a day, then we don't want you to just go off and do it on your own. It would be really inefficient. It might take you a really long time. You might get throttled by us. You might have a bunch of problems. So if you're going above those thresholds, we're definitely capable of supporting you in the service, but we want to know about it. We want to build a plan together with you. If you have more than 25,000 users you're migrating, you probably have an account team, and they're the right people to go reach out to build that plan. Kind of repeat what I was talking about before, just in terms of migration. If you are doing migration, keeping it simple is really the key. If you're just migrating document content and you're not doing a whole bunch of site customizations, you're much more likely to have good results. And the really important thing is to set realistic expectations for your throughput. There's a whole bunch of things that can go wrong between the migration system and SharePoint. And if you hammer on the system, SharePoint's going to push back and say, hey, slow down, we can't take that many requests. So you should expect things like throttling, errors, time when we're doing servicing where the database will be read-only. So use that to set your expectations. I'll talk in a little bit detail really quick about this new CSOM API for bulk site creation. It's create personal site in queue bulk with an array of strings. The strings are email IDs. So if you're logging, if you have a bunch of people in your organization you want to create OneDrives for, you have a bunch of email IDs, that's all it takes. You just go and build a simple application or call it from CSOM, or you can even make REST calls or PowerShell calls to this endpoint. It'll take a maximum of 200 entries at a time, so you have to do this kind of in a rolling migration. You have to do this in a rolling creation. And when you send those 200 entries, we're going to queue them for provisioning asynchronously. So we're not going to sort of block until all 200 are created. We'll go queue them. We'll go create them. You can call us with the next 200 after the right amount of time has passed, and you can check on their provisioning as you go. Here's a really quick example of how to call the thing from REST. It's a pretty simple API. Create personal site in queue bulk. You post, and the body, you just put the email IDs in an array. If you're really interested in migration, I'm not going into enough detail to give you the end-to-end thing. I really recommend checking out session 329, which is all about migrating data and documents into SharePoint Online and OneDrive. So they'll talk about pretty much every consideration that you need end-to-end. The last thing is, there is a capability to do what's called custom My Site provisioning. And custom My Site provisioning can be done by essentially saying, okay, I know where SharePoint's doing the automatic provisioning. When you click on that OneDrive link, when you click on the Sites link, we have a web part on that page called My Site Personal Upgrade on Navigation. And that web part's actually what's going and kicking off the provisioning of that My Site. But if you want to do it in a custom way rather than do it with just the out-of-the-box pieces, then what you can do is go and remove that web part. You probably want to export it first so that you can make sure that you have a way to put it back if you need to. And then you're going to put a custom app part on the same page. And essentially what the custom app part's going to do is it's going to call into Profile Loader to see if the user has a profile. And if the object is null, it's going to say no My Site exists, and it's going to call create personal site in queue, which will automatically go ahead and create it. And then you can check and see if the My Site is created, and once it's created, you can do things like call into that site and apply a theme to it, or add some extra content, or add some web parts to their pages in places where you want to customize the provisioning of OneDrive. And of course, if they have a profile already, then you can just say, that's fine, the web part won't do anything, and we'll just continue on. So that's a way that you can use the app model, and even in Office 365, the same capability works on-prem and in Office 365, create a custom MySite provisioning process. All right, so that's all I had to show today. The things I hope you took away are that, you know, first of all, OneDrive is a site collection in most ways like any other. So a lot of the app model stuff applies, all the stuff about our APIs, our service model, the integration points that you can create in the UI, that's all game for OneDrive. We also now have these Office 365 API previews that allow you to do a bunch of new scenarios around device apps and websites and integrating with OneDrive in really deep ways. And there are a ton of tools to deal with OneDrive for business provisioning and migration depending on your scenario. So there's some guidance here, and if you're really interested in deep migration guidance, I'd recommend checking out that other talk that I pointed you to. Here's your call to action. Definitely go and check us out on User Voice. This is where we're looking for any sort of feedback you guys have, if there are features we're missing, if there are things you think we should do better. Go to officespdev.uservoice.com, add your feature request there, vote up ones that you see there. We're watching there very carefully. That's where a lot of the features that we work on come from. If you have questions, go to Stack Overflow, post questions for Office and SharePoint. And in the meantime, go and check out all the tools. Go to dev.office.com. Look at all the new announcements and follow our blog for things that continue to evolve and preview new features, pieces that are coming in and moving from preview to general availability, all that kind of stuff. All right, thanks very much, guys. I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you have a good rest of the conference.